DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Pat Gohan, who is a popular Catholic writer, speaker, and host of Among Women podcast, affiliated with StarQuest Production Network. At the forefront of Catholic media, Gohan writes regular columns at Pathos, CatholicMom.com, and Amazing Catechist, and has contributed to Faith and Family Live, Catholic Exchange, and many other sites. Her expertise is that of faith formation and women's ministry. She holds a master's degree in theology and Christian ministry from Franciscan University of Steubenville, plus certificates in adult faith formation leadership and theology of the body from the University of Dayton and the Theology of the Body Institute, respectively. With Pat Gohan, we go inside the pages of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious, Celebrating the Gift of Catholic Womanhood, published by Ave Maria Press. Pat, thank you so much for joining me.
What a pleasure to be here, Chris. Thanks for the invitation.
I have to tell you, you had me at Bodacious. I saw the title and I thought, blessed, okay, beautiful, oh, how wonderful. Bodacious, okay, all right,
yeah.
I like that. What propelled you to bring forward this beautiful book?
Well, it's always a great opportunity when a publishing house calls you up and says, we like what you're doing, we think you might have a book in you. And Actually, I did. These have been subjects that I've been writing about and teaching about in, you know, local Catholic churches as I've done work with women's ministries and things like that. So this was a wonderful opportunity to just lay it out all on paper. I'm used to writing articles of a certain length and things like that. This was my first attempt at the long form at doing a book, and it's a topic that's very close to my heart. It's the kind of things that I'd want to share with my daughter and my mother and my sisters and my girlfriends.
Well, you made it real for us, Pat. I mean, the thing is, I had I would say the blessing of being able to talk to many women who have tried to express that ideal of that maternal nurture, who has the feminine genius, a woman that is so like the person over there, but she's not me. And you made it possible to really see ourselves in that great blessing, which is our identity. And I thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you for the beautiful compliment, really.
Why do you suppose we as women, particularly at Catholic women, have real identity issues in the first place?
Mm-hmm. The identities of women have been changing through the last couple of generations. I've found my womanly identity, if you will, changing from, the woman I was in my 20s to my 30s to my 40s, and now, you know, as a woman in midlife in my 50s. And the world has given us a particular message, too, about what a woman might be or can be. And what I have found, being a Catholic woman, and being someone who has really looked to the church for the message of who I am in Christ and who I am as a woman, I began to be very much taken with some of the writings I was coming across in the teachings of the church. I have to really give a lot of compliment to Pope John Paul II's pontificate, because he wrote rather extensively for a pope on women and women's issues and things that spoke to me as a woman. So I began reading these things a number of years ago, and I realized that as I was learning from them and really growing from them, it was very enriching for me to read some of these things. As I began to share them with women, I realized that there were things that women hadn't heard before. Like, where was I getting this stuff from? And I'm like, no, I'm reading this document at the church. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I think the church has got a beautiful message it wants to impart to women, and especially the modern woman today. But I think our marketing has not been so good.
Well.
So this is my antidote for my corner of the world to say, ladies, let's take up some of these things and talk about them in a conversation. And that's what the book tries to do.
I love the chapter in part one of the book called Living from the Inside Out. And you bring out a very important paradigm we have to really appreciate. And it was brought to us by, can I say, another bodacious woman by the name of Teresa, who lived in Avila about 500 years ago.
Yes, indeed.
And she said, you know, and you bring this forward, that our soul's conscience is a sanctuary. It's a holy place inside of us.
Right.
And yet we've allowed a lot of negative things to come in, whether it's from the outside world or it's from the message that others would put on us. And we allow that in, and we don't realize that God is in there with us trying to show us something different.
Oh, absolutely. This idea of living from the inside out is that we live from the interior core of our being. Like, that's the rudder, if you will, for mm-hmm. our decision-making and our actions and the way we respond to people and relationships. I mean, everything that's on the inside of us is somehow born into the external life, into our day-to-day living. And so the point I'm making in that chapter is, number one, all of us have body and soul. And the very interior self of the soul is this idea of our conscience. So it's a real conscience raising, if you will, of who we are as human persons, you know, that we have a wonderful dignity, that God meets us there in the depths of our soul. And it's true that some of us may not have what the church would call a properly formed conscience or a rightly formed conscience. And sometimes if our conscience is hurting or deformed or not fully developed or immature, we're going to use that rudder maybe not in the best way in terms of the way we live our lives or the decisions we make or the way we conduct ourselves in relationships. So the idea of blessed, beautiful, and bodacious is looking at this large question of the feminine genius and this feminine identity, but talking about it from an interior conscience point of view first. Like, let's get it right on the inside of us first so that we can live it on the outside.
Yeah, the church has such a beautiful way of describing it, and it's articulated so lovingly by Blessed John Paul, as you just pointed out, about who we are and what our identity is. But if somehow we're attaching and believing the lies that others have placed in that, if we believe, even, can I be as dramatic as saying, as an accuser would say about us, mm-hmm. as women, then, you know, of course, you're not, unless you believe it interiorly, you're not, what the church has to say, you'll say, oh, that's nice, but they're not really talking about me because I know better.
Mm. You know, that's a very good insight. I think what I have found for myself personally is when I'm looking to what the church is saying, it's not just what the church is saying to me, but it's what God is saying to me mm-hmm. through the church. And for me, I really want to get at this connection and this relationship that a woman has with God. And God is like the ultimate authority for me here in the book. It's like, what is God saying to women in and through the scriptures, in and through the teachings of the church? And God's got a really big yes to say to us as women. You know, God is loving us in a tremendous way in and through the way that he created us, in and through the gift of our baptism. As Catholic Christians, we believe that we are ushered into this relationship as a beloved daughter of God. So those kinds of things, those are the bedrock on which I feel I stand as a person. My human dignity comes from that, and I talk a lot about that in the book. And to your point about lies or opinions that other people might have of us, you know, God's opinion of us is a good one, and it's an unchanging opinion. God thinks we are good and very good, and we can stand on that. That's an unmovable foundation that we can rest our dignity on, as opposed to opinions or other people's ideas of us, which can be changing or could be incorrect or skewed.
We're talking with Pat Goen about her book, Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious, Celebrating the Gift of Catholic Womanhood. I so loved reading this book because I felt like I was a part of a wonderful conversation. And in your writing style, Pat, you challenge us. I mean, you ask that question in chapter 3, which is entitled Your Soul's Tattoo. Mm-hmm. Are you a beloved daughter? Are you a beloved daughter of God? Do you believe it? Do you think you're lovable? I think that those are important identity questions, aren't they?
Very much so. And it's whether or not we accept the truth of it, you know, because to be a beloved daughter is really one of the blessings that the book is talking about. And I make the distinction that a lot of us answer those questions based on how we felt about our family of origin. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some of us may have had beautiful experiences being daughters in a family and may really understand what that idea of being a beloved daughter in a family is and what a robust love between parents and children might be like. And then there might be some others who might read this book who may have had struggles in understanding that or may have had difficult and painful childhood or adolescent experiences in the family. And that idea of being a beloved daughter is a foreign kind of characterization. And yet this is what God is calling us to. And what I've found in my readings, and particularly in reading a particular section of the Catholic Catechism of the Catholic Church, is that the Church has a very consoling view towards those of us who may have had this more difficult relationship with our families of origin. Mm-hmm. And understanding that those difficulties sometimes are reflected back into our acceptance of the fatherhood of God, if you will.
Mm. Well, you talk about the blessed dignity that is given to us. I mean, that dignity, it's due each person. But
absolutely. Human dignity.
Oh, absolutely. It is at the core of basic fundamental of all Catholic social teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I mean, you do paint a word picture describing a person's life like a globe. That's part of the awesomeness, everyone who's listening to this, of Pat's writing, because you help break open that blessed dignity.
Well, thank you. And I have to say, you know, part of that is just because I do, have opportunities to teach adults some of the catechism and things like that through different catechesis lessons that I might be doing at a church or whatnot. But I have made that that word picture that if you were a globe, and if we were talking about the sphere of your life, mm-hmm. that your world really does revolve around these two axis points that you and I have already alluded to today, these two poles of number one being created a woman, you know, being created by God. You know, you're being called into being by God's yes about your life. So mm-hmm. that's the first axis point. And then the second axis point is your baptism, that you've been created a Christian. And that stretch between those two poles is this axis on which our whole world revolves around. And that is our incredible dignity. And these are unchanging realities. As I've mentioned, you know, the baptism being this bedrock, you know, yes, of what God calls us to be as beloved daughters, but also that God called us into being, that God said yes to us and wanted us to be born and wanted us to be created. Those two things, that they form our human dignity. And it's important for us to accept that that understanding of who we are and whose we are, and also to be able to see that in other human persons as well. That's a gift that I think women give to other human persons, is they have this unique sensitivity toward the human person and the gift of the person.
A real standout throughout the whole book, even though she may not be mentioned in every chapter, but the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Oh, absolutely. And I certainly talk a lot about Mary throughout the book. I talk about her as the zenith of creation, if you will, the most perfect creature that God ever created. You know, when we talk about the fall of humanity and the original sin, and God sought to not have his creation, you know, fall in such a way that it was without hope. Like from the very beginning in Genesis, we hear that there's this hope of a savior and salvation, and there's some hope that there's the problems of creation, if you will, and the sins of creation would be rectified. And it comes in and through a woman. It comes in and through the Blessed Virgin Mary. And her entrance into creation and into the world, you know, preceding the coming of Christ is a beautiful icon for women to look at, how God turns to a woman to help once again make things right in the world in and through the coming of Jesus, through her maternity. It's a huge thing, and yet very simple and sublime. I love the Blessed Mother, and the older I get, the more appreciative I am of her.
Well, you've come to know her, I mean, in a very, as you said, personal way. I mean, and that's the ideal, isn't it? It's relationship.
Yeah, this book is all about relationship and the various relationships that a woman has in her life, in terms of, you know, with the God who knows her and sees her, you know, who calls her into being, her relationship with the church in and through her baptism. You know, God didn't just mean for her to have a relationship with God. He wants us to have a relationship with other people. So God is calling us to the gift of love. And how is that love, you know, lived out in relationships? And our relationships are lived out in the vocations that we choose and the service that God calls us into. And seeing that connection, it's all about relationships. The Trinity itself is a relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit, and the love of the Trinity spills out into us here on earth. And we're called up into this life of relationship, life with God and life with others. So it's a very, the idea of relationship is something we women get. We're all about the relationships, aren't we, Chris?
We are.
I mean, you know, when you get down to it.
Well, and we thrive for that because, I mean, even in that, it's nurturing relationship because God, his nature is relationship because he is love, and love is, love by its nature can be nothing unless it's shared.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, imagine you just tell somebody you love them, but if you don't show them, if you don't engage in them, if you don't have relationship, if you don't have that, then it's nothing. And
oh, absolutely. I mean, some of the gifts that I talk about in the book is a woman's receptivity, a woman's generosity, a woman's sensitivity, and a woman's maternity. Mm-hmm. Now, each of those words are very rich when it comes to the idea of the way we dwell in relationship, not only in our spiritual life with God, but in our physical, concrete, day-to-day living. You know, the maternal gift is a very powerful one that all women have, just by virtue of being created feminine. And that is part of the gift of womanhood in terms of her ability to nurture, or her ability to learn and to grow into a nurturing role. It's sometimes, you know, some temperaments and some people, based on their own experience, have got to grow into learning how to nurture. But also, their receptivity allows them to receive nurture. And we all know it when we get it. Like, we all know when we've been nurtured or we've been mentored along in something in our lives. And as a woman, I find that women are incredibly loving and always want to return what they've received. You know, they always want to give a gift to somebody else when something good's happened to them. So that nurture becomes almost a natural response for the goodness that they've received, that they want to pass it on to someone else.
Some of the hardest things that women can go through are relationships with other women, where they can be very loving and encouraging. You think that because, you know, we have this sisterhood that we'd be able to practice everything you just said on each other. And yet, I don't know very many women who won't say it's the toughest thing sometimes, having relationships with other women.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that is an area that I definitely touch on the book. Mm-hmm. I think if we can see one another with these eyes in terms of the dignity that we have and the fact that all women share these gifts of receptivity, generosity, sensitivity, and maternity, like these are gifts that make us beautiful. I think if we could start to see each other from that in kind of an interior way, seeing into the other person, I think we can drop some of the competitiveness. Like all of us, we know, come with different resumes and different gifts and different talents and things like that. There's always going to be somebody who's got an area of expertise that's different from us and things like that. I think a lot of times we get into this kind of competitive thing. Mm-hmm. And I think out of love, we've got to just learn how to drop that or tone that down, not let that be the first thing that we look at when we see another person. I think the gift of seeing and understanding our own dignity gives us the eyes to see the dignity of another person first. And knowing that all of us as women share these wonderful gifts that I just mentioned, that kind of levels the playing field. That means like someone, you know, another woman that I see has these same kinds of gifts inside. And it makes me like her. And I mean like akin to her. And hopefully my own love will help me to like her in an affectionate way, if you will, where I care enough about her not to get competitive and not to demean her. I think women demeaning other women does all of us a disservice. Mm-hmm. You know, I think mm-hmm. we have to, as women, you know, the call to be sisters, if you will, and to stand with one another is really important for renewal in the world. And also, number one, for the gospel to go forward, too, that we care for one another and that we have respect for one another. Like, respect is the basis for love. So if we can see the dignity of the other person, and if we could see that they have these interior gifts, our love for them and our concern for them can stand on that respectful.
We're talking with Pat Goan about her book, Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious, Celebrating the Gift of Catholic Womanhood. And if there are women's reading groups, prayer groups, if you're joining in a guild, you should be reading this book. You should be reading it together. And in particular, in part three, that whole section about the five recommendations for aspiring spiritual mothers, Pat, I loved it. It was challenging. I posted it. I've told my girls, you have got to read this. And I told my husband, I said, it wouldn't hurt for you to do a few of these things too. But mm-hmm. absolutely fantastic. I mean, this is, each one is so important to that spiritual motherhood.
Right. You know, that goes right back to what we were just talking about. You know, the first thing off the bat is to make friends with one another. You know, that we women, just woman to woman I'm talking about now, it's so important that we start to create a non-competitive sisterhood. You know, we're really called to lift the hearts and minds of one another and to support each other prayerfully and charitably. And that means we've got to be each other's cheerleaders, you know, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. not just with words, but with dynamic action. And, you know, I love the fact that you said you shared this, you know, with the younger women coming up in the family. Like, we have to model it for them as well as live it, you know, and we have to call women to this idea of what it takes to be a good friend. I talk about finding three different types of women to be friends with, mm-hmm. that we should be friendly with the women in the generation that's older than we are. We should be friendly with women who are our peers, but we should also be friendly with women in the generation that's, you know, younger than we are coming mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're very, you know, we only are interested in, you know, a peer-to-peer friend or a friend from work or something like that. And I think as women, we've got to just think broader. We have to be friendly with a host of women so that we can be well-rounded as women.
The whole book is packed filled with knowledge for your head, but you help us to journey with a great journey of joy to our heart. And that, I think, it makes this a real standout when talking about authentic Catholic, the spirituality of women.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I think some of it has been hard-earned wisdom, you know, in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the first to say, you know, I have to go to confession regularly because I'm blowing it all the time, and I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. But I've also been blessed by a lot of remarkable women who've really, really shown me the ropes in terms of spiritual motherhood, in terms of what it means to be a good friend, in terms of people who've forgiven me when I've blown it, and people who've helped me when I've had hard times. I do a lot of sharing about some of my less pretty moments or painful moments even mm-hmm. in my own life, mm-hmm. and how the love of committed women in my life have brought me through, you know, both mm-hmm. spiritually and on a day-to-day living it out basis.
Pat, I wish we had more time. Any final thoughts for this conversation?
Well, I think it was a privilege to have the opportunity to write the book. I want to thank my publishers at Ave Maria Press for the opportunity. And if I could give anyone homework for further reading, the back of the book lists several excellent scriptures and church documents, two from John Paul that are great. One is called Mulieris Dignitatum, mm-hmm. on the dignity and nature of women, and also the letter to women that he wrote in 1995. Those documents are available online. I'd invite women to begin to maybe study those documents. And I'd love to give a shout out to Endow, which is a wonderful ministry out of the Archdiocese of Denver. Endowgroups.org has wonderful study group materials available on a lot of these types of documents that could be very enriching for women to learn more about the feminine genius and about a new kind of feminism that we're called to create in the world.
Well, first homework, though, first assignment is blessed, beautiful, and bodacious, celebrating the gift of Catholic womanhood. Pat, it's just been a joy to talk with you, and I hope you continue to bring us wonderful material that is spiritually nurturing for us.
Thanks, Chris. It's really been a wonderful time being on your show. Thank you so much.
With Pat Gohn, we've gone inside the pages of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious, celebrating the gift of Catholic womanhood. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to AveMariaPress.com, the website for its publisher, Ave Maria Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to DiscerningHearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.